Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Rabona podcast. Once again, I'm Musa Kwonga, joined by Ryan Hun. Michael De Silva is indisposed, but don't worry, there is so much action to keep us company. Ryan, welcome back.
Welcome back.
So much to talk about.
So much football.
Not necessarily surprises, but drama at the same time, if that makes sense.
What are we referring to?
Well, not just the title race in the UK, but what's been happening in Spain. It's funny because La Liga, although the title long ago decided, the relegation battle is absolutely fascinating. Mm. We'll get into that in a bit, I suppose, with Girona, you know, who beat Real Madrid and
now they're down.
Drew three times at the Atleti.
I know. But Villarreal is safe, so Santi's safe.
Santi stays up. Oh. So much great stuff. But let's go back to the Premier League because so much happened.
Maybe
there.
We'll do La Liga next week.
Okay, we'll get into
properly,
that
properly, because right. That'll be all done and all the top four will be done.
Okay,
well,
not to worry. Well, let's get into Premier League now then. Premier League now, Liverpool win. No, sorry.
Liverpool, oh no.
You know what? Freudian slip.
Sliding doors.
Actually, no, let's get into that because Freudian slip. Liverpool have been so good that it's almost like I expect them to win the Premier League for much of the season. And City just kept their breast ahead of the competition. And although City won this one, I'm a bit like Klopp with this. Klopp said that this title race was only the beginning. I really think Liverpool can win two of the next three league titles because I actually think that it will get exhausting maintaining that level of quality that City have, even with new signings. And the only thing stopping Klopp from now winning, Klopp has established himself, I think, pretty much now as, you could say, the second best coach in club football, I think, if not the best. The only thing stopping Klopp is Guardiola at his peak with a war chest. And Guardiola can't maintain this, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on the profile of signings that both clubs are going to bring in. And I think that actually they're both operating in very different ballparks.
Yes.
You know, Manchester City are going to bring in, I mean, there's talk about João Félix.
And Rodri.
Rodri, these kind of players. Whereas I think, you know, there's a lot of rumours about Julian Brandt going to Liverpool.
Mm.
And
what a great signing that would be.
But I think a player of Julian Brandt's profile going to a club like Liverpool would be a much more attractive option to him than Manchester City, actually. I mean, you know, I'm a big Guardiola fan.
Yeah.
And I'm also a big Klopp fan. And I think that, you know, I was when me and Ken were chatting on the last podcast about Klopp, there's something extra there with him. How good would it? Imagine how good it would be. If we were back in our early 20s, as much as I love Guardiola, if there was an offer that came in for both clubs for you as a player, who would you want to go to right now?
You'd run to play. You'd go on your hands and knees to play for Klopp. And I think the thing about this is that look at the winners of the Golden Boot. Mo Salah, Aubameyang and Sadio Mane. These are all players who have been radically improved by Klopp.
Did you see his press conference?
About them, my strikers.
All my players.
But this is the thing. Aubameyang, and a wonderful player, don't get me wrong.
Three African players, by the way, sharing the Golden Boot, which is...
Right. Plucked from obscurity, though. Plucked from, not obscurity, but would Aubameyang got to the same level without Klopp's tutelage? I don't think he would have. I think that his specific skill set and his qualities have brought out such a great level. Sadio Mane was great before he joined Liverpool, before he joined Southampton, don't get me wrong. But he was taken to a level.
Elevated, yeah. And the same with Salah. Like, Salah had a bit of a tricky time before. He was great at Roma, but... He never reached the level that he has done at Liverpool.
This Premier
before.
League is a triumph of coaching. You could actually argue this is the first Premier League season where the coaches are the undisputed superstars.
I think that's, I don't think it's any coincidence that that's why there's four English clubs in the European final.
They have coached the lights out. It's you know what I love about, you know, Pochettino, this is a slight sort of diversion to the Champions League. The quality of the tactical shift he made. Ajax 3-0 up in the tie, and what does he do? He goes long to Llorente to beat the press, to beat the quick passing. And some say that's reductive. No, I think, was it Llorente won 13 of 17 duels, aerial duels. Now, the quality of adjustment, what I love about this Premier League is at every single point, you have seen leading coaches change tack. You know when Conte went to three at the back, that was the big innovation of one season. These innovations are now happening every couple of weeks.
Or sometimes in games.
In games. Yeah. The quality of the problem solving. And this is, I say this to Liverpool fans who are dejected about everything. My goodness, like when they step back from this season and when they get over the hurt of not winning the league, you know, they're going to look back. And I think even some of them already looking back and going, my goodness, Jurgen Klopp is one. He's put himself up there, I would say, as one of the great managers of the modern era in terms of.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And I think also, I think from a Liverpool point of view, obviously it will be massively disappointing not to win the league.
Right.
But what more can you really do? You know, Liverpool have lost one game this season.
And that game, that game where there's no shame in losing that
game. Exactly.
One.
Yeah. And I just think that sometimes coming from a fan who has seen his club implode off their own back
many times
over many, many years, you know, sometimes you've just got to be like, well, that's just how it is.
Also, Liverpool were 24 points back, 25 points back.
Yeah. The progress they've made this season has been incredible. And
they're like Dortmund. They're ahead of target. They're ahead of target. In terms of Guardiola, must have, they gave him the fright of his life. They did.
At the weekend when the third goal went in for Manchester City against Brighton, I think that's the most relaxed I've seen Guardiola.
Or relieved.
For probably since they won the title last year, actually. And that's a sign of how...
He knows how good they were.
Yeah.
Look, they did them 5-0. And at that point, it was like, yeah, like we're well clear of Liverpool. Second game, I think Liverpool beat them 4-3. And then you could see him going... We have got a job on our hands because this team is learning fast. One thing Neil Atkinson, fantastic writer, podcaster, radio host. I think his Twitter handle is Knox_Harrington. He's one of the hosts of the Anfield Rap podcast. Mm. We had a quick chat on Twitter, like a back and forth. I hope you won't mind on the DMs. And he was saying the quality of squad management by Klopp week in, week out has just been sensational. And the rotation's been unbelievable. And if Liverpool bring in an elite forward, you know, a Brandt type figure, someone that can play across the line, then it's a game changer for them.
Yeah, I think Julian Brandt is a really exciting prospect for Liverpool. I think he'd be an incredible signing. There's part of me that would like him to stay at Leverkusen, him and Kai Havertz for another season at least, because those two are brilliant. They've been super important for Leverkusen this season.
We've been really spoilt with German football this year, actually, I think.
The Bundesliga has been brilliant this season. It's been, I think that, you know, I think we said, did we mention it on the podcast about how it's more of a, you know, as the Premier League title race has been this kind of borderline scientific quest for perfection at the level that it's been operating at. You know, the Bundesliga title race has been like the flawed...
The glorious flaws, exactly.
The flawed, you know, drunk beat poet kind
exactly,
of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's just the last one at the bar and, you know, oh, if only they could clean themselves up, they'd all be brilliant kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? It's, no, you're complete. It's kind of like a Bill Murray-like.
But, maybe quickly on the Bundesliga, that happened this weekend again. You know, I was in Leipzig to watch RB Leipzig against Bayern. Bayern could have won the league that game that day. They just needed a win or needed to match Dortmund's result. So Dortmund clung on against Fortuna Dusseldorf and escaped. They were, Fortuna missed a penalty. There was a goalkeeping error. They've given a couple of teams a scare this season. But yeah, Dortmund hung on to win 3-2. Bayern drew 0-0 in Leipzig, had a goal disallowed for offside, which was marginal. So the Bundesliga title race will go down to the last day of the season.
It will. And also...
So what will need to happen is...
Yeah.
Before we get back onto the Premier League, this is a fluid kind of...
Yeah,
we'll get this done.
Free form. It's a jazz podcast.
So Bayern have Eintracht Frankfurt at home, who lost to Mainz on the weekend 2-0. And obviously, I think they were maybe stung a bit from going out of the Europa League to Chelsea on penalties. I think that might have poked the bear a little bit. So Eintracht go to Bayern needing to win to have any hope of qualifying for the Champions League. But Dortmund go to Mönchengladbach, who also need a win to guarantee Champions League qualification. Unless basically Leverkusen are at Hertha, and if Leverkusen win and Mönchengladbach win, then it doesn't matter what Frankfurt do. And there's only a difference of two in the goal difference from Mönchengladbach and Bayer Leverkusen. So it's all to play for.
And you never know what's going to turn up with Gladbach, do you? Yeah. You just never know.
But also, the good thing about this for Dortmund is that Marco Reus is back. He's missed the last two games through suspension. So, yeah, quick one, actually. I wrote about it on Twitter, but it was the first time I saw our guy, Ibrahima Konate, in the flesh.
What a player, the defender for Leipzig. Yeah.
So we've watched a lot of him this season, but only on TV. In person, he is unbelievable. So he made one slight error, which I think was partially down to the conditions. It was really wet and the ball just kind of skidded in between his legs. I think it might have been Rafinha got through, or Ribery, maybe Frank Ribery. But other than that, he completely dominated Robert Lewandowski for the whole game. And to the point where Lewandowski was frustrated and throwing his arms up and stuff like that.
Wow.
He is so good. And he's 19 years old.
I thought, when I first saw Konate play, I thought he was a winger because he was he had the possession high up on the right wing and he was beating men, quick feet. And I thought he was a winger. I was like, wow, who's this like wide forward? And he's like, no, you said to me, he's a centre back.
Yeah.
I was 19
years old
away.
French. He's so strong, so good at winning the ball. He's quick, but his control and his passing and his vision, long range, short range, My God,
he's an unbelievable player. I think he's
there's a lot of rumours about Arsenal going after him. There was a lot of rumours came out January, February.
Wow.
And if they're going to get him, they're going to need to get him now. Because one more year in the Bundesliga and he will be going for 80 million.
Word's going to get out for sure. Sancho corner, only because we have to mention Sancho.
He came on and got fouled.
And the red card came out of that, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a nasty tackle.
Yeah, so really Sancho is still causing trouble, still like weaving his spell.
It was lovely for Christian Pulisic, got a goal in his last home game for Dortmund. It's sad that he's going to Chelsea. But
what a great signing for Chelsea, though.
I mean, he's not been in great form for Dortmund. I mean, since the last two games, he's come back and scored twice. So, I mean, he has been better, but he's been in and out of the team this season compared to what he was before and overtaken by Sancho. But still, it's a shame they couldn't keep hold of him, but I think he's going to do well for Chelsea.
I think so. Fantastic player.
Next week, we're going to wrap up the Bundesliga on the podcast and we're going to have Jonathan Harding in the studio.
The great Jonathan Harding. Oh my goodness.
So I'm going to be
the man, the legend.
Two tall men and me, little old me in the studio. So should we go back to Premier League now?
Sure thing.
After our little detour.
Of course.
So City have the chance to win the first domestic treble in the men's game in England.
Right.
The FA Cup final next week, right? Yes.
I think it is.
Yeah, so the only other side to have won a treble in England, domestic treble, was Arsenal women, who were Arsenal ladies at the time, 2007, where they won the quadruple. They won the European Cup as well that year.
Was that the great Vic Akers coaching them?
It was, I think. And also, actually on that, our guest from a couple of weeks ago, Tim Stillman, did a really good podcast about that quadruple season.
Oh, wonderful.
It's in the Ars blog, Arscast feed, so you can go and check that. So yeah, City on course for the first men's domestic treble.
What a team. I mean, you know, obviously the issues about the financial gap and the nature of some of the funding. As a football team, they've maximised their resources. They really have, haven't they? And they had to, because Liverpool were that good. It's hard to say too much about City only because of the financial asterisk. I do also think that sometimes the sheer amount of money they have obscures just how good they are on the pitch and what they've done with that money. Because as Manchester United have shown, a vast amount of money really does not make you a good football team or a good squad. So the quality of the expertise in and around that club is
No one's doubting Pep Guardiola. I mean, did you see that thing? He dropped something like, I think in his entire managerial career in the league, he's dropped something like 198 points.
He's unbelievable. He's actually probably slightly underrated because of the games. When I say underrated, because people look at it and go, well, you've had Messi, you've had all this money. But what Guardiola does is he gets the extra percentage of quality out of elite players that almost no one else can. There's very few managers in world football that can take an elite footballer and make them that much better. And I would actually say those managers are in the Premier League.
Well, he made Messi better, which is
terrifying.
I mean, and that's, you know, that positional shift for Lionel Messi basically just set him off.
Messi would be just another great winger.
Well, I don't know that. I'm not saying that because you just never know who would have done what with Messi. But I mean, he really kick-started Messi into becoming the player that he became.
Yeah,
and he may have got there anyway.
Can I be honest with you? And I'm quite militant about this, sorry. I don't think Messi would have been anywhere as good without Guardiola in his life. Same with Henri. Because if you look at all these players, like when players become great, and this is not you,
Henri and Guardiola.
So Henri in relation to Wenger. Like, okay. When players become great, we kind of take it for granted they were always going to make it. Not you, but generally we do that.
Yeah.
But if we look at Bergkamp had to be plucked from Inter and put in that particular role. Bergkamp was playing as a nine at Inter. Vieira was in the reserves at Milan, you know, just miserable, right? We do this time and again, not you, but...
Carlo Torre was a midfielder.
Thank you. Cafu was a right midfielder.
Yeah.
And he was right. And Tele Santana said, what the hell are you doing there? Go back to right back.
Yeah.
Roberto Carlos was playing left midfield. There are entire players who owe their careers and their visibility to brilliant tactical switches that almost nobody else would have envisaged. And I get quite evangelical about this because we have to understand that football at this level, the margins are so small for success that if your skill set is not fully exploited, someone else will come and take your role. Henri was a wing back at Juventus. He was miserable. He was playing left wing back in a 3-5-2 at Juve. I remember watching those games. Henri looked miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what Guardiola has done with someone like Raheem Sterling is quantum leaps in quality. And that's what excites me about Klopp, about Pochettino. You know, and I talked about, you know, Solskjaer getting this appointment too early. I actually think, and I've said this before, Pochettino has dodged a bullet not going to United.
Because you can't argue the structures
that Pochettino deserves at any club, wherever he ends up. If he stays at Spurs, if he goes abroad somewhere else, he deserves structures. You cannot put an elite manager in this. And it would have been I hate to say it, it's kind of offensive the way that United kind of courted Pochettino, if you think about it. To have Solskjaer and him in the running and to kind of say, we're not going to put in a director of football, all the things that he wants. It's so shoddy. And I think that what I love about the football in the Premier League so far is the top three managers, they've all got the structures around them they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
First-class recruitment at Spurs, well, if they buy players, but the structures are there, the scouting's there, just not the money yet. Liverpool, first-class, and off the field, Guardiola. Those on the model. And people can say to me, oh, you can't compare United to whatever. No, actually, this is about having a professional environment where you maximise the resources of the coaching and playing staff.
Actually, on the recruitment tip, you know who's the head of recruitment at Leipzig?
Paul Mitchell. Oh, wow. That's strong.
Do you know whatever I think, just with stuff like that, you know, like that gif of the kid at the basketball who takes his respect cap off?
Yeah, respect. It's like, yeah.
Speaking of respect, CJ McCollum went off for 37 in the Blazers.
59% percentage.
My goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Shout out to CJ.
Shout out
to the Raptors as well.
Shout out to Kawhi. Thank you.
Yeah.
Shot 16 of 39, but still came through.
We've lost a load of people.
Yeah. Sorry for the basketball references. Actually, not sorry.
we've got some questions before we go for a break about the Premier League.
Yeah, go for it.
So, well, actually, before we do that, do you remember when we played a little game?
Predictions.
On a podcast.
Yeah.
So, Musa, you said Manchester United would finish fourth with 75 points.
Oh my God, we're a joke.
No, sorry. Manchester United would finish third with 75 points.
Oh,
Spurs would finish fourth with 75 points. So joint, basically. Chelsea, fifth, 73. Arsenal, sixth, 71.
I was completely wrong.
Michael, Manchester United, 78 points in third. Spurs, 77 points in fourth. Arsenal, 76 points in fifth, and Chelsea 70 points in sixth. I said Man United in third, Spurs in fourth, both with 77 points. Arsenal fifth in 75 points, Chelsea sixth in 69 points. Do you know what's the only consistent thing about all of that? The only team out of all of our predictions who scored more points than we predicted was Chelsea.
And Sarri, put some respect on Sarri's name, because for all the talk of Sarri out.
So basically, the moral of that is, everyone listening, thanks. It's been a really lovely run, but none of us know anything about football.
Nobody knows anything.
And we don't really feel comfortable enough doing a podcast knowing this little about football anymore.
Exactly.
Well, actually, also the fact that all of those teams running for the last two Champions League spots had just a dreadful running.
Spurs as well. I mean, we can get into the
brilliance. I mean, Spurs is a little bit different, because I think Spurs, the fact that they got to the Champions League final and got over the line with the injuries they had and the squad they had, I think he's just...
He coached the lights out.
Kills me to say it as an Arsenal fan, but, you know, they're in a different league at the moment to Arsenal, I think.
They're the guys, aren't they?
And maybe that might change next season with, you know, Emery in his second year, but, you know, no one can argue that they've been brilliant this season.
Incredible.
Despite losing something like 12 games or something.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, questions. our good friend at Mesh St. Paddy.
Hey.
Each of the top six moving forward, name one player they must absolutely sign, brackets realistic chance to improve ahead of next season. So let's start at the top, Manchester City. Who must Manchester City sign?
It's funny because they do need a Fernandinho stand-in slash replacement. Gundogan stepped in and done that. But the Saul Niguez, there was talk of Saul Niguez. I think they've talked about Rodri and Atleti. It's weird, I can't... They have to sign. I know there's talk about Rodri, but I prefer Niguez. The reason I say Saul Niguez over Rodri is because against deep-line defences, Niguez opens you up with a pass, a dribble. He's basically your kind of like, he's the closest thing to Naby Keita, who's still on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's, I'd say, Saul Niguez.
Right, Liverpool. So we've got Saul Niguez for Man City, Liverpool. Julian Brandt. I think if they go after Julian Brandt, that's, the links are there. He's realistic. He'd be a great signing for them.
That's a great shout, because that's someone who's also not unhappy with rotation. There's always the challenge. If you get a player, I think they need a wide forward or someone that can come in from a wide position that can play across the line. Combination player, that's a classic Klopp style. But you need someone who's also comfortable coming off the bench. And all the other players in that kind of wheelhouse, the elite talents, I can't see them.
I think for the money they'd be able to get him for, the fact that Klopp wants him, apparently wanted him instead of Mo Salah originally.
Really?
I think
Julian Brandt is as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's great.
Such a Klopp signing. Basically, if you're thinking about who Liverpool should sign, imagine a player, then add 30% to their quality, and that's who Klopp should sign.
And also, it's worth noting, from a personality point of view, he just comes across as a brilliant, brilliant young man.
Wow.
Really intelligent, very kind of low-key, not really bothered about a lot of the stuff that goes with it. He's just like football.
Mm.
Actually, Jonathan Harden did a really good interview with him.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, in German as well. Very impressive.
Yeah, John, he's a don.
So we're going to say Julian Brandt for Liverpool?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, right. Chelsea. Well, they've got Pulisic coming in. They can't sign anyone else. So that's that done.
Oh, they can't, can they?
No.
They're bad near the lane thing. Yeah.
Spurs.
Ah, now this is interesting.
I think they need a striker.
They need goals. Not necessarily a striker. They need a wide forward. What I love and what I would encourage a Spurs forward line is fluidity. Spurs have had so much bad luck. Go on. You're going to mention someone.
Dusan Tadic.
Dusan Tadic at Spurs. Wow. That would be a signing. Dusan Tadic at Spurs. Why not? Because I don't know if anyone would go. He's the kind of... I don't know if they would...
I don't know if he'd go, but I think he probably would go.
Do you know what? That's actually a really... That's an ace in the hole.
You reckon? So are we going to agree on Dusan Tadic?
Actually, no. No, I wouldn't say Dusan Tadic. You need a player whose peak is not in sight. And as brilliant as Tadic is, how many years do you get out of Tadic? I love the idea of Spurs signing a young player who then absolutely blossoms over the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, but I think they could do both. I think they could bring a young signing in,
yeah,
who's a little bit under the radar and gives them options in cup games.
Tadic gives you 10 to 12 goals a season in the Premier League.
And
he does.
Tadic coming in he's still rapid. He's pretty fluid.
Yeah,
he's got goals in him. And also, he's got like a real bite about him.
Dusan Tadic, I like that a lot.
So we've got... That's the top four done.
Yeah.
Arsenal, I'm going to just throw out there Konate. I mean, I'm not sure how realistic he is in terms of, but I think.
But why not?
Because I don't think Arsenal have the budget, especially if they don't get in. If they don't win the Europa League final.
Also, Leipzig sell big, don't they? But they don't need the money.
Yeah, but like I say, if you're going to get him, you need to get him now.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now.
Yeah.
You cannot wait another season.
Konate is outstanding.
I think you'd be able to get him for affordable money. I mean, this is a club who paid 30 million. Plus for Škoda and Mustafi.
Oh,
so
yeah. That you know? Actually, if you got Konate, he would sort out so many problems. Distribution, allowed to play the front foot. Bellerin coming back.
But Bellerin coming back. And also, I think that a lot of people have underestimated how big an impact losing Rob Holding was. And Rob Holding by no means is this, you know...
Very good player though.
But he was really starting to become an important player for Arsenal this season under Emery. And I think someone like Konate, you have a 19-year-old, you have Rob Holding, who's 22, I think, maybe 23 now. And, you know, wily old foxes like Sokratis and Koscielny, plus Mavropanos as well, who I think will become a really good centre-back. I think that's a good defensive core. I'm not sure if Koscielny's going to be there next season.
Yeah. Do you know what about Konate? He moves the entire team 10 yards up the pitch. With the quality, does it make sense?
Yeah.
The distribution and the screening.
He also walked past me in the mix zone at Leipzig and he's absolutely hench. I think he's like 6'4", I think he's 6'4".
Lord. He's a big dude. Yeah, you see it and you're like, I mean, I'm like...
But he's rapid as well. Like, yeah. He's He's so impressive.
He's one of those guys, you can't tell when he's accelerating. He's just like suddenly at warp speed.
But saying that, what I mean, Arsenal will probably end up with Denis Suarez for 30 million.
Oh dear.
Or someone like that.
Oh no. Okay.
Hey, but Arsenal got Emile Smith Rowe coming back. They got Reece Nelson coming back.
Good times.
Good times. And Manchester United.
Oh my goodness. We have multiple organ failure. What one player would United need? Assuming they'll lose Pogba, they will.
Do you know who I think might end up at United, or the kind of player who might end up at United is someone like Kondogbia. That kind of midfielder who's maybe been off the radar a couple of years.
Yeah, and that needs a kind of, has had a bit of a dip and needs to get back to a certain level.
Because they really need someone in midfield.
Yes, absolutely.
They really, really do.
To be honest, they need Saul Niguez more than City do. They need a player like that.
Or if they're going to, I mean, where will Pogba realistically go? Real Madrid?
Yes, I think so. Unfortunately, you know what it is? United, basically, let's be real. They are where they were in the 80s when they needed a player like Brian Robson to ignite them again. And they need a player like that again. I don't know who that player is, but they need someone like that. They need a guy like that. They need a midfielder to get in. They need someone with the blend, the passion of Herrera, and the screening ability of someone like Matic when Matic was still much more.
I mean, if they're going to deal with Real Madrid for Pogba, you know, there's a lot of talk about Real Madrid wanting to go after Neymar as well this year. So they can't afford both. Mm. Do you think there's any possibility of United maybe trying to negotiate someone like Casemiro into a deal?
I think Casemiro would be a mistake.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure whether he'd be the fit, but I'm thinking realistic, a position they need.
I'd rather have Kovacic, to be honest. We won't get him. I'd rather have Kovacic.
Well, he can't sign for Chelsea permanently now, can he?
Or he's going back. So if Pogba goes to Real, I'd love to get Kovacic. Okay. I think he could be the beginning of a rebuild.
So we've got, who do you have for Man City? I've forgotten already. Oh, Saul Niguez for Man City. Julian Brandt for Liverpool.
No one for Chelsea.
No one for Chelsea, apart from Pulisic, who they've got.
Dusan Tadic
for Spurs. My very optimistic Ibrahima Konate for Arsenal.
Yeah.
And Kovacic from Man United.
Yeah.
That's the six.
Not bad.
Another question, one more from Polar Bear.
Oh, the great poet, writer, novelist, man about town.
Would love to hear yous pick a dream 11 from the top four Premier League teams. Do you know what? Let's take a quick break.
Yes.
And then we'll come back and do that.
Let's
and then we'll cover
it.
The rest of it.
Haha, can't wait.
Right, back from the break with our top six 11.
Oh, okay. Right.
Sorry. Top four. Top four 11.
Okay, so...
In goal, Alisson Becker for me.
Not Edison.
Nope.
Alisson Becker then. Okay.
Unless you want to...
No. They're both great shouts. There's not much between either of them. I think that Alisson is slightly less prone to mistakes. They're both prone a little bit, but I think Alisson for me shades... And distribution's unbelievable. Alisson Becker in goal. Yeah.
Right back.
I reckon both fullbacks are Liverpool. I reckon both of them.
I would agree.
Does that make sense?
I'd agree.
Yeah. Both fullbacks.
Van Dijk.
Yes.
So, Alderweireld.
Alderweireld. I think that's right. Two.
So that's our back four. What are we doing? 4-3-3?
4-3-3, yeah. Let's we have 4-3-3. To. 4-3. Come on, look. We're modern football.
All right, midfield.
Midfield. Okay, it has to be Bernardo Silva. The first name in the team sheet in the midfield is Bernardo Silva.
My personal player of the year.
I love him. I think he's unreal.
Definitely City's player of the year.
I would say so.
Well, him and Sterling, maybe.
Yeah. And has overtaken the other Silva, I think, now.
Oh, yeah. So we've got Bernardo.
Other midfielders in the top four who've been distinguished.
I mean, would you put Kante as the holding one? He's not had the greatest season.
Not with the form. Not just this season.
Form.
To be honest, do you know who actually deserves to be in there, weirdly enough? Sissoko.
Well, yeah. 100%.
Do you know what? Sissoko.
Yeah, Sissoko.
I put Sissoko and Silva.
Bernardo.
And a third midfielder from Liverpool.
Georgie Wijnaldum.
Wijnaldum, yeah. Wijnaldum, Sissoko, and Bernardo Silva.
And then I'm going to guess your front three.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be the same as my front three.
I'm saying. Raheem has got to be there.
Raheem, Mane, Salah.
Yes. That's it.
So we've got Alisson in goal.
Yeah.
Alexander Arnold.
Yeah.
Alderweireld.
Alderweireld.
Van Dijk.
Yeah.
DJ Andy Robertson.
Indeed.
Sissoko. Yep. Bernardo Silva. Who was the other midfielder?
Oh my goodness, we didn't put Eden Hazard in there.
Ooh.
Oh my word.
Oh, Wijnaldum was the other midfielder.
Wijnaldum, other midfielder.
Oh.
Front three, Sterling. Do you know what? Can we really leave out? Do you know what? I think that Mane has to come out.
All right.
Mane has to come out for Hazard. Really.
Oh, do you know what? I was gonna take Salah out.
But Salah scored so many important goals.
But they've both scored the same amount of goals.
Ah, but you see the amazing table that Miguel Delaney did on points one, decisive.
Oh, really?
And Salah is like on another level.
All right. Okay. So we're going to take...
Sterling, Hazard.
Okay.
That's the one.
I'm all right with that.
Because who's going to... Listen, and look, so much love for Sadio Mane. So much love.
I mean, to be fair, this is not a... This is a really unfair question.
This is definitive. No.
You could have
3-11s. No. I will die on this hill. It's definitive. And if anyone has a go at me, it's on site. If anyone says, oh, Kwonga, you're shout. No. This is on site.
Okay, so we have one Chelsea player. We have two Spurs players.
One City player.
No, two City players.
Two City players
and the rest Liverpool. That's pretty balanced.
That's fair. Because City have also had this incredible role player thing.
Yeah.
And also their centre-backs, like someone like Laporte, fantastic player. But yeah. Van Dijk, the outstanding defender of the season.
Yep.
And Alderweireld gets the nod. That's a really good team, I think.
Oh my God.
Terrifying.
I want to play them.
There you go. Home of Polar. Thank you, Polar Bear. That's your team.
Should we move on to some other stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
There's loads more Bundesliga stuff to talk about, but we can do that next week.
Yep.
There's also some loads of stuff going on in Bundesliga too.
Hamburg
can't go up.
No, Hamburg lost the Paderborn 4-1.
Cannot go up, yep.
That's amazing.
So Hamburg will be staying in the Zweite Bundesliga next season.
With St. Pauli for the derby again.
There'll be another Hamburg derby, which is good.
They crumbled Hamburg, didn't they, the last few games?
Yeah, Union are in the playoff spot. Currently, as it stands, they'll play Stuttgart in a two-legged thing.
Don't they have to better someone's result to go into the playoffs?
They basically need to better Paderborn's.
Right, yeah.
I want to go to Spain.
Let's do it.
Copa del Reino was this weekend, and it was Real Sociedad against the league winners, Atletico Madrid. Real Sociedad won their first ever Copa del Reino.
I love that so much. I love that Sociedad are on the map like that. That's fantastic.
17,500 at Granada.
I love everything about that. I love the fact that it was in Granada, which is just a great place for anything. But also just Sociedad, like they're just they are the soul of Spanish football.
And do you know what was really amazing about this was all the Spanish football papers. It was all over their front pages on Sunday.
I love this. And do you know what I love about that as well? It speaks the quality of the league. You know, Atleti obviously winning the league. But who's in the Champions League final? You've got Barca.
Barca so
the strength of Spanish football is really something.
Also, it was the first time in the history of the Copa del Reino that the reigning Queen of Spain attended the game.
I love the trophy.
It was amazing.
I remember watching the... it always makes it a high level when you've got royalty there. I remember watching the Olympic final in 1992 when they won the last... I think Kiko scored the late win. I think Guardiola was playing in that team. The Barcelona Olympics and Spain won 3-2. And the King of Spain was there at the game, and it just gave it this extra level of like, it made it grand. It was like being at the opera. Yeah.
Elsewhere in Spain, this is a brilliant one. So Barça Femenís Alevi team, I think I pronounced that right. So basically they are they're 11 and 12 years old.
Mm.
They played in a boys league this season because the competition in the girls league wasn't enough, I don't think. I think they were the youngest team in the league they've won the league. 27 games, 27 wins. 287 goals scored.
I mean,
24 conceded. So they've scored more than 10 goals a game over 11 games, conceded less than one a game.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, like 10-1. Average scoreline, 10-1. That is absolutely nuts.
I thought it was a brilliant story. Also, a shout to Michelle Taylor on Twitter, at Barca Women. Brilliant Twitter account. She posted some really good threads about both of those stories. And, just a brilliant follow.
Oh, fantastic.
So, how great.
And the Women's Champions League final coming up.
The Women's Champions League final is coming up.
Barcelona-Lyon.
I will be there.
That is in Budapest, right?
Yes.
I mean, the Lyon team, just absolutely brutal on the counter. The wide positions, the wide forwards. I mean, I saw them against my beloved Wolfsburg, who lost, went down valiantly. What was amazing about Lyon was, you know, everyone knows about their ability to play out from the back, but the wide forward positions, especially down the right, it was almost like they could score at will. The speed of the transition, they get the ball out wide and they work it. Actually, it's similar to, I mean, people that watch Man City regularly, there's actually some similarities. Well, the ability of Lyon to get beyond the fullback, especially in the left-back position, and just hit that really dangerous ball between the keeper and the centre-back.
I mean, it's going to be extremely difficult for Barcelona.
Right, yeah.
Lyon are really the standard bearers.
And it's the experience. The problem is they're so accomplished at playing, having come back, comfortable in those games.
Mm.
Chelsea showed, you know, on that they landed a couple of blows on
Yeah, I mean, Tim said that on the podcast, like Chelsea are no slouches, you know, and I mean, they finished third in the Super League this season and we're very, very close to putting Leon out.
Right. I think what you need to do with Leon is you need to like, you have to conserve your energy and then attack them in blitzes, because if you play them, if you come out and play them open field, they'll just cut through you.
I mean, that's what Wolfsburg did in the quarterfinals. You know, there was a point in that second leg where it really looked like Wolfsburg could have got into it.
Right,
and they scored a couple of, was it two goals in 5 minutes?
Absolutely, yeah.
Was it Pini Lahada got both?
Yes, and you have to like conserve your energy and then blitz them and then sit back. That's the only way to really...
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting. Women's Super League was wrapped up this weekend. Arsenal obviously crowned champions with a game to spare. They beat Manchester City in their last game of the season at home, which was Manchester City's first domestic defeat this season. Also had Kim Little with a great swear on TV. I'm not sure if you've seen that interview.
No, I haven't yet. No.
Anyone who's not checked Kim Little's post-match interview from the game, go and check it out. It's absolutely brilliant.
I love it.
Anything else?
I think we're good.
We're going to be back next week.
Of course.
A couple of things up on the site.
Your match report from Valencia, which is brilliant.
Thank you.
Your write-up of Arsenal's win... Europa League semi Valencia, you went to the Mestalla.
I was there. It was very loud.
For listeners, I can tell them the match report is almost as vivid as the game itself. It's a fantastic piece of writing.
Oh, so cheers, man.
Check it out. Really, I love it.
Super kind of you.
Great piece of writing.
What have you got coming up? Have you got any bits?
Oh, not immediately. I will think of something. I'm back. I've been obviously on my travels, wandering the earth.
And you're not going to write how something like, I don't know, Manchester United's Winterfell or something. Is that an accurate reference?
Actually, do you know what? The only analogy I drew the analogy of Manchester City being the White Walkers.
I'm only on episode 7 of season 1. I'm getting there. Still no dragons yet, so that's how far behind
I am. Yeah, I don't know if you're in for a great treat, actually, given the way the season's gone. But anyway, look, let's...
But it sounds like I've got a while to get there anyway, if I reach long.
I would just say, enjoy the journey. In terms of new writing, I'll think of something. There's a few trends, I'm sure, that popped up that I'll get
back to. We still haven't done our Wire piece.
We haven't actually. We haven't. We should probably get into that at some point.
If you want to get in touch, don't forget you can email us hello@rabonamag.com or we're on Twitter @rabonamag and we're on Instagram @rabonamag, everywhere else, usual places.
Till the next time. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.